God is sending me all these great men of God, and so Jeff is one of them, and Dave is the other one, and both of them know the scriptures extremely well, and so I started here last month, and I'm breaking these two guys in now, because they're on the prayer lines all day, and they really are able to get people healed and delivered, and they know a lot about healing. Jeff was a pastor out in California, and I'll tell you a little about him. I was at a meeting, and a prophet was there, and we were having dinner at a big church deal. And this prophet, he comes over to my, actually sitting at the same table I am, and he says, "Thurman, I want to let you know that God just spoke to me and told me he's going to send you a pastor from California to be a part of your ministry." And I said, "Okay, I don't have much faith in prophets." I hate to say that. I guess I have about as much faith in prophets as most people do in healing ministers, you know, so... the church don't have any faith in healing ministries, do we? No, we really don't. You know, I mean, I was a member of a church that never even dreamed about praying for nobody. We never thought about healing. I was a Baptist. Y'all ever have to experience something like that? You've been in a church like that? Yeah, me too. So anyway, I just said, okay. And so after he said that, just a few minutes later, he said, "Oh, by the way, the Lord just spoke to me again." I said, "Oh, okay, what did he say this time?" He said, "He's going to send enough money to pay him." I said, "Well, praise God." I said, "I guess he'll appreciate that." So it was only a few days after that, the Lord spoke to Jeff and told him he was to come to Texas to be a part of our ministry. And so Jeff called me and said, "Pastor, I don't know how you're going to receive this, but the Lord just spoke to me and told me to come to Texas to be a part of your ministry." I said, "Come on." I said, "Come on." And so he did. And while he was on the way, it took him about a month. He had several things to do while he was gone. I went out and bought him a little RV trailer, a little travel trailer, and parked it over in our little parking lot. We got a few little hookups over there. So I put it in there, and he moved in it. And his son even come and stayed a little while with him. And, of course, that little travel trailer is pretty small for two people. It's only 28 feet long and 8 foot wide. But his son finally left and went back to California to finish his degree. And so Cheryl one day told me, said, "You know, Jeff's living in a really small place. We need to buy him something bigger." And so we bought a 16 by 80 mobile home. And we took it over there and completely renovated it. Spent two or three months working on that thing, Jeff, something like that. And it made even a pretty nice place, didn't it? Yes, it's not bad at all now. You know, it's really nice. Jeff put new tile in the kitchen, and we made it really nice, and now he's got a nice place to stay. So anyway, he's been here, and he's learned a lot, and he already knew a lot, you know, but he's putting the fine finishing touches on it, and I thought now would be a good time to let Jeff do the first hour, and then Dave is going to do the second hour of the healing school, and then we'll take a break. And after we take the bathroom break at 3 o'clock, then we will come back in the last 2 hours. I will do the last 2 hours. So anyway, y'all just bear with these guys and let them listen to what they got to say, because God has given them some great messages. So Jeff, praise the Lord. It's good to have you, son. It's all yours.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, welcome. Good to see all of you. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. God, you're so good. So wonderful, Lord. So wonderful. Yes. Lord, we're just in awe of you. In awe, Lord, of your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for Jesus. Yes. Lord, open our hearts today to hear from you in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, today's a healing school, so we are talking about what makes you sick. And talking about what makes you well. As Pastor mentioned, Dave and I, Dave, it's going to be coming next hour, and I both work the prayer lines. And when I say work the prayer lines, people call in from all over the world with various different things going on in their life, both physical and relational, and they call for prayer. And one of the things that I've seen, actually two things that I've seen that the enemy uses most often, at least in my experience, to keep people sick and afflicted is fear and rejection. Fear and rejection. And I'm not going to talk a lot about those today, but I notice that there's a pendulum that the enemy likes to push people one direction or the other. And with fear and rejection, either they're pushed to one side where they are afraid to fail, and so they never try anything. I don't want to step out for God. I'll be the one that just plays it safe. And again, fear of rejection and just fear of failure in general. And they hold back and don't really ever accomplish anything in their life. And they might have great plans and things, but they, because of fear and rejection, don't step out. The other end of the pendulum, which is also driven by the enemy, a person internally says, you know what, I'm not going to feel this way anymore. I'm not going to feel the fear that I felt. I'm rising up against that, but not in the Lord. I'm rising up against that. The rejection that I felt, I'm going to prove that I'm as good as everybody else. I'm going to prove my dad wrong, or my mom wrong, or whoever it was. I'm going to prove to myself, to everyone else, that I can do this better than everybody else. And people become driven, performance, you know, oriented, perfectionists. And a lot of people don't even see those terms as being something that's, again, from the enemy. But a perfectionist does it twice as good as they have to, and after they're done, they still think about ways that they could have done it better. And then they wonder why people didn't notice how good of a job that they did. It's like, man, nobody ever appreciates me. And they end up carrying tremendous amounts of weight on their shoulders, doing things for everybody all the time, and wondering why nobody appreciates them for how much they're giving out. Fear and rejection. We're going to look at a verse today, Philippians 4:13. It's a verse that, again, is common, that we know, we've heard often, but Philippians 4:13, I believe, has some balance. And we're going to look at it word by word today and kind of break it down and look at what the Scripture says about the balance, the freedom that comes from not being pushed one way or the other by the enemy. Jesus said in John chapter 8, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When I'm free, it's an amazing thing. I can be free to do an excellent job without being driven to be a perfectionist. When I'm free, I can say no, but it wasn't out of fear of trying. I'm okay with saying no. I don't have to do everything for everybody. I'm okay. I don't have to even give an excuse. Yeah, I don't want to do that. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so again, I want to look at each one of those words, see what the Scripture has to say about each one of those words. So the first one is the word I. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. Not just Jesus, not just men and women in the Bible, not just Thurman, not just those in full-time ministry, but I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We say around here the phrase, you guys have probably heard it, what can God do? Everything. Pastor Thurman says that phrase and people will call out, you know, what can God do? Everything. And that's awesome and true. But for many people, that's where they stop. God can do everything, and I sure hope He does for me. God can do everything, but I hope He's looking at me. God can do everything, but I don't really feel like I deserve it, so I hope maybe this time He'll do it for me. There's something powerful that happens when we go from God can do everything to my God can do everything. David said in Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I'll not be moved. But he said, I have set the Lord always before me. Psalm 23:1, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, God's shepherd, we know that. God's God. Whether or not you believe it or not, God's God. He's always going to be God. But there's something powerful that happens when it goes from God is God to God is my God. The Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, I'm not going to want. He's going to lead me. He's going to guide me. He's blessing me. He gives me blessings in the presence of my enemies, and goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. Because the Lord is my shepherd. By a conscious choice of my will, Lord, I choose to say that You're my God. You're my protector. You're my provider. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 27:1, David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Again, there's a difference between God. Yep, God's everything. God can do everything. God's the light and the salvation. To He's my light and my salvation. What do I have to fear? And he says, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" There's a lot of people that call this ministry, and some that come on healing schools or to church, and they're coming to have Thurman talk to his God on their behalf. You know what I mean? And when I say his God, it's capital G. He's God, but Thurman knows his God. And so many people feel like, "Well, I don't know if he's listening to me. I don't know if he's heard me. I don't know if he's paying attention to me. I know he pays attention to Thurman. Let me see if I can have Thurman pray to his God for me." David said, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Several places in Scripture, Esther 4:14, I'm not going to go into this whole story. Many of you know the story about Esther. Esther, little Jewish girl, I don't know how little, but young Jewish woman, ends up getting chosen by a foreign king as a possible wife, and then he selects her out of all of these women in his kingdom as his wife. It's like, wow, you know, what are the chances of that? And then she ends up getting amazing favor, and then right in the middle of all of this, they find that there's a plot to kill all of the Jews, all of the Israelites. There's a guy within the kingdom who's got a plot to kill them all. And Esther, young, beautiful Jewish woman who happened to become the wife of the king, her uncle says to her, "What do you think the odds are?" Basically, he says, "What do you think the odds are that you ended up being the wife of the king exactly when there's a plot to destroy all of our people going on?" He said, "Maybe, no, more than maybe, you were created for such a time as this." That's the phrase that he uses. And he says, "Who knows whether you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" You know, Jeremiah chapter 1, God says to Jeremiah when he's a young person, Jeremiah 1 verse 5 through 8, God says to him, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I'm a child, for you shall go to whosoever, to all that I send thee. And whatsoever I command thee to speak, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." God says to Jeremiah, just a young man, who in their culture did not yet have the ability to speak to masses. He had to be a certain age and achieve certain things before you were taken seriously. God says, "Before you were born, I knew you. I called you to a specific job before you were born. There's no one on the planet that can do what I've called you to do." Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things." How can I do all things? Because there's a call of God on my life. And before I was born, God placed it there. David said, "Before I was born, the Lord knit me together, and all of my," King James says members, other ones say, "all of my days were written before any one of them came to be." God, you started this. Philippians 1:6 says, "He who began a good work in you." Actually, it starts out by saying, being confident of this very thing. If we can be certain of anything, it's this right here. God started it. God started it for you. God started it for me. And if God started it, He doesn't leave stuff done. And so you can say for you, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What can God do? Everything. What can my God do? Everything. What can I do? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So look at the second word. I can. I am able to. I have the ability, I have the strength, I can do it. Notice what it does not say, Philippians 4:13. It does not say, I might do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It doesn't say, I hope to do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It doesn't say, I'm going to try really hard to do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It doesn't even say, someday I'll do all things. You know, it's easy to put off, you know, someday I'll be that man, that woman of God that can do great things. And we even dream about it. Some of us, you know, we dream of doing great things for God, and that's wonderful. But part of dreaming sometimes, and I've done this, and this is why I know, part of dreaming sometimes says I really don't expect it to ever happen. So I'm going to dream a wonderful dream of being a great man of God someday. Because inside, part of you thinks that, well, this will probably never happen, but it's nice to think about. But this scripture says I can do all things. Psalm 18:29 in the NLT, David says, in your strength, I can crush an army. In your strength, I can crush an army. Is this guy full of pride? Does he know who his God is? I can crush an army. With my God, I can scale any wall. Those that know their God, this is just a side note, can sometimes come across as arrogant because they walk in confidence in the faithfulness of God. Confidence that God is backing them, and people that are walking in rejection and fear says, whoa, I can scale any wall? I can crush an army? You know, tone it down a little bit. David says, no, I know my God. Through the strength of my God, I can crush an army. I can scale any wall. I don't know if I've told this story before, but true story. Started hanging out with a young man several years ago when I lived in California. And when I first started hanging out with him, he said to me the phrase, I have to warn you, everywhere I go, people give me things for free. And I said, what? You know, what kind of a statement is that? And he was a younger guy than I was. He was younger in the Lord. And in my opinion, he was less spiritual, which will tell you a lot right there. Says a whole lot more about me than it did about him. But he said, I've got to warn you, everywhere I go, people give me things for free. And I thought, you know, who is this guy? And everywhere we went, people gave him things for free. We would be in a restaurant, happened multiple times. He doesn't know the waitress or the waiter, and they would bring him things not on the menu. Have you tried our apple pie? And he said, no, I was thinking maybe just getting some soup today. Well, hang on. And they run, grab him a piece of apple pie, and I'm sitting right there, and I never got a thing. Never was offered a thing. And all the time that I hung out with him, I was never offered a thing because I had the hope to do all things through Christ. But boy, I don't know if it's true for me. I don't know if I deserve it. I hope to, and the Lord told me that I literally carried around an umbrella that caused the blessings that He intended for me to fall on others because I didn't say I can do all things through Christ. I can receive blessings. And it took a while, but after a while I said, all right, Lord, you're doing something here. Obviously, this is not an accident. Obviously, this guy is blessed, Lord. Why is he blessed? And the Lord said, because He lets me bless him. Because he believes that he can. He believes that he is blessed and favored of the Lord. And you hear some of us say sometime, you know, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Praise the Lord. And that's a great phrase, and we are. But sometimes it's something we say, and it's not something we really know. If we really knew who we were, we would wake up in the morning, we would have to brace ourselves. Okay, Lord, people are going to want to give me things today everywhere I go. People are going to offer me jobs and better jobs, and Lord, I can only work one at a time, so give me wisdom here, what I'm supposed to do. People are going to buy my meal. You and I are the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. We are royalty if there ever was royalty. If you watch the, look at, I don't follow it, but you know, the royalty that's in England, you know, the sons, or the, I guess they're grandsons of the Queen, they wake up knowing Everybody's going to want to be near me today. Everybody's going to want to do things for me today. Everybody's going to want to get a picture with me today. Everyone's going to want to bless me today. Do you think they ever think, boy, how am I going to get a ride into town today? Do they know that they're blessed and highly favored? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Power, the ability, the strength to be able to do it. I can do all things through Christ. Numbers 13, I want to take just a little bit of time on Numbers 13. Children of Israel have been in Egypt for 400 years in captivity. God sets them free, Red Sea parts. You know, water comes out of a rock. All these amazing things happen. Quail come so thick that there's 4 feet deep of them, and they're grabbing them out of the air. And I mean, just God's done some amazing things. They get to the edge of the promised land. God tells them, hey, send out scouts to check out the land. And the scouts come back and say, oh man, it was amazing. The land was amazing. And it literally says it took 2 men to carry 1 cluster of grapes on a staff between them. I don't know if you ever saw that picture growing up. I used to see that picture. Didn't know if it was the Lord, you know, really happened, or if it was just some, you know, artist depiction. But the Bible says it took 2 men to carry 1 cluster of grapes. The people said, but there's giants there, and we're afraid. And then this is what Caleb says, Numbers 13:30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. We are well able. We can. Caleb said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yep, it's a big task, but we are well able. Not this is going to be a tough one, you know. Boy, I hope. He said, what can God do? Anything. What can my God do? Anything. What can I do? All things through Christ who gives me strength. In effect, that's what Caleb says to them. We are well able. Verse 33, 3 verses later. Dave, I want you to bring up this verse. This is just side note, but I want you to hear what they said, the children of Israel, not Joshua and Caleb, but the rest of the other 10 scouts and the rest of the people. Well, the rest of the 10 scouts, basically, is who said this. And it says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were, look at this phrase, in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so, we were in their sight. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in theirs. Isn't it interesting? Pastor Thurman quotes Matthew 8:17, where Jesus says, as you have believed, it'll be done. Well, it works both ways. They said we were grasshoppers in our own sight, and so they were in the enemy's sight. They became grasshoppers to the enemy, because they didn't know their God. And they didn't know who they were in God. Were they grasshoppers to the enemy? No, they were well able. In fact, 40 years later, I want to read you a verse. 40 years later, they didn't get to go into the, for those of you who don't know the story, they didn't get to go into the promised land at that point. They said, we're too afraid, we can't do this. God says, all right, let's make a few more trips through the desert. And 40 years later, they show up at the same place again. Caleb, the man who spoke before, is now 85 years old. Joshua 14, verse 11 and 12. Joshua 14, 11 and 12. Caleb says this, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go in and to go out, or to go out and to come in, Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me at 85, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord has said. I can do all things. I'm 85, and I'm still not a grasshopper. The rest of them, young warriors, able, and they were grasshoppers in their own sight, and so they were in the sight of the enemy. At 85, Caleb says, I'll never be a grasshopper in the sight of my enemy. According to Scripture, at 85, he leads a charge and takes down the Anakims, which were a race of giants, giant people. Now, this is just a side note that I'm going to throw in for free. There are certain groups that tend to walk in fear, and there is a concern out there today that the government has found the Anakims, and found their DNA and is cloning the Anakims. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but cloning a race of giant people who will then be used by the government to take over the world. And all I got to say about that is, if an 85-year-old man who knew his God can take down an entire city of them, we got nothing to worry about. Okay. I can do all things. The word do. I want to tell you Philippians 4:13 again. I can do all things to Christ. I want to tell you how we read that sometimes. We read that I can cheer on those that do all things to Christ. I can support those that do all things to Christ. I can pray for those that do all things to Christ. I can watch on TBN those that do all things to Christ. But that verse says, I can do all things through Christ. Daniel 11:32 is the verse I want us to take a look at just real quick. Daniel 11:32, first part of the verse, he's talking about those that do wicked. I want us to look at the last half of this verse, and it says this, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and support those that do exploits. No, it doesn't say that. When we know our God, we will do. Am I saying we shouldn't support? Of course not. Am I saying we shouldn't pray for? Of course not. But we're content because of fear or rejection to stay on the sideline and say, well, you know, my job is just to pray for those that do exploits. My job is just to support when I can. I do my best when I can. This verse that says that those that know their God will, shall do exploits. And just as a little side note, if you look this up in your Bible, the word exploits in some of your Bibles is in italics. And that's because it's not actually in the Hebrew. The word exploits is not in the Hebrew. It actually says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do. But when the translators were putting it together 400 years ago, they said, well, you know, will people understand? They'll be strong and do. Well, they're going to do what? And so they added the word exploits as a way to be able to make that phrase or make that scripture make sense. But it really reads, but those that will know their God shall be strong and do. We feel like we've done something for God when we come to church and sit in a pew. And again, I'm not saying we should stop coming to church. Pastor would get on to me for that. And so would the Lord, because it's Scripture. But we feel like we've done something for the Lord by coming to church. But the Scripture says those that know their God will do. It's easy to come and listen to somebody else talk about what they're doing, the exploits that they're doing. And it's a little bit riskier to do. Somebody said faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And I believe that. Thurman tells the stories. One I heard that I don't know if he's ever publicly shared, but he was in a meeting. Oh, he was in Washington, D.C., in some meeting. Somebody came and got him, said, a little boy's just broken his arm. We want you to come pray for him. So he goes to pray for the little boy. Big bulge in the boy's arm from a broken arm. And so he gently begins to minister to this young man. And those of you who know Pastor Thurman know that that's not his approach sometimes. He says, I know my God. I know my God. So he says, be healed in the name of Jesus. And literally slaps the little boy's arm, knocks it down. And the boy says, the pain went away. And instantly there's no bump and his arm is perfectly healed. That is R-I-S-K. That is the people who do know their God will be strong and do. There's a story that's told, true story. I don't know if I've told this story before, but it's supposed to be a true story. Shortly after the turn of the 20th century, in the early 1900s, they didn't have a whole lot going on. And so there was two different men that would compete against one another. They would stretch a tightrope across Niagara Falls. They would gather these huge crowds and they would go across the tightrope and, you know, do crazier things, and people would wow and cheer, and people came from all over the place to watch them, you know, and one guy would then try to one-up the other guy, you know. Pretty soon they're riding bicycles and unicycles and across a wire above Niagara Falls. Okay, certain death if you fall, but they keep one-upping one another. So anyway, this guy gets a wheelbarrow and he crosses it, comes back, and the crowd cheers, you know. Then he says, how many of you think I could do it with somebody in the wheelbarrow? And the crowd cheers. And then he says, all right, I need a volunteer. And the crowd goes absolutely silent. Faith says, I really do believe. And I'm getting in the wheelbarrow. Lord, my life is on the line. Lord, this is my life and you're my God. And I believe that you've got my back. And I believe that the moment that I do this in faith, that you're instantly healing that little boy's broken arm. And God did. I can do all things. John 14, 12 through 14. John 14, 12, 13 and 14. Jesus said, verily, verily, or truly, truly. Okay, let me just stop for a second. God created the world with a few words. Created the universe with only a few words. If he says something twice, we better listen. Truly, truly, I'm getting ready to tell you something powerful, something that's very true. Listen up. This is what Jesus says. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he try. No, it doesn't say that, does it? The works that I do, shall he support others to do. Again, don't stop supporting others to do it. But Jesus said, the works that I do shall he do. And greater works than these shall he do. Folks, it's time that the church started doing. What can God do? Anything. What can my God do? Anything. What can I do? Anything through Christ who gives me strength. Jesus said, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right, the word all things. He does not say, the verse does not say, Philippians 4:13, I can do a few things. I can do the easy things. I can do the things that I'm good at. I can do the things that I know for sure God's called me to. And this isn't in my notes, but I talk to people sometimes, say, well, I'm just waiting on God. You know, I'm waiting to hear the Lord tell me to do something. You know, he said the people that know their God will do. His last command was go into all the world. We've already been told. But again, fear and rejection, we can come up with great excuses. I just don't feel led. You know, when God tells me, when I hear an audible voice, like God speaks to Thurman, when I see the writing on the wall, then I'll tell my neighbor about Jesus. Then I'll tell the lady in the grocery line about Jesus. says, I can do all things. I tell you how we read this sometimes, and this is the other side of the swing of the pendulum. We read, I can do all things if I plan out every detail. I can do all things if I just put my mind to it. I can do all things if I stress about it enough. I can do all things if I can just get Thurman to pray to his God. Psalm 8, verse 4. Verse 4, 5, and 6. Psalm 8, 4 through 6. David says, what is man that you, talking to God, are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you, God, have made him, man, a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him, man, with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. You have put, and there's that phrase again, all things under his feet. Now, this is before Jesus ever came in the flesh, but the Spirit of God still very present. And David knew his God. David says, I can do all things. In his life, by his life, if you remember the story of, you know, Goliath, we all know the story of Goliath. It's found in 1 Samuel 17. You don't have to go there. I believe 16, 17. But David says, he shows up at the battle. He's the youngest of a whole bunch of kids. He's the one that they disregard, that they reject, that they don't pay attention to. If you remember the story a few chapters earlier, I think it's maybe 14 or somewhere in there, 15, Samuel, the prophet of God, shows up to crown the next king, tells David's father, bring out all your sons. I'm going to anoint one of them. David brings out his sons, except for he just happens to forget to go get David. What kind of a father, what kind of, nobody, none of the brothers say, hey, Dad, David's one of your sons too. Oh, that's just David. He's just a kid. He's watching the sheep. He smells bad too because he's been out there forever. That's just David. So here's David, overlooked, disregarded, rejected, and he shows up one day to be a blessing to his brothers, brings them food, and he ends up saying, I can do all things. They say, well, yeah, normally, you know, we appreciate that phrase, we appreciate that statement, but this is a giant. The king says to him, he's been a warrior since his youth, you're just a youth. And David said, well, let me list a couple of the all things that I've done. The bear, the lion, and this Philistine that talks against my God, he'll be the same. All things. There's no limit, David says, to my God. Did he say, I've killed giants before? No. He didn't say, I've got experience in this one. He said, there's no limit to what my God can do. And so, because I know my God, there's no limit to what I can do. And I'm willing to take on a situation that I've never done before because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them, and he said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew 21:22. Jesus said, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. A lot of you guys have heard Pastor Thurman talk about some of these verses. And it doesn't matter who we are. I love the story about the car. That he was out in the middle of nowhere with a foreign car that quits working, the fuel pump stops. And at this point, he'd seen multiple people be healed. He had the faith to tell people, I guarantee you, it'll be done. You know, I guarantee you those warts will disappear in your hand, even though he'd never seen, through his prayers, warts disappear. For the very first person, I guarantee you, God's going to heal you. But now you come to a car, even though the Scripture says all things are possible to him who believes. Lord, what am I going to do? Are all things we limit to what I've seen before, to what I've done before? But God says all things. Are you willing to step out and believe? Are you willing? Are you willing to believe God? Are you willing to take a risk? That's the scary part. Okay, I'm going to close the hood on this car. I'm going to go get in the car, turn the key, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to look very foolish. I'm going to tell this person that has warts that I guarantee you in Jesus' name, if you do what I tell you, you know, you get rid of your sin, or I guarantee you I'm going to pray for you, God's going to touch you, whatever the illness is. I guarantee you, God will touch you. And the enemy says, yeah, but if he doesn't, you're going to look like a fool. What about your reputation? Fear. What will people think of you? Rejection. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Through Christ is the next phrase that I want to look at. I can do all things through Christ. Now, I mentioned in the beginning that the pendulum swings and the enemy tries to get it to go to one side or the other. And for some of us, we say, I can do all things. Guaranteed. I don't have any problem at all. I could go, I could do any job right now. I have no problem. Some people seem like they have tremendous amounts of confidence on the surface. But none of it is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's, I can make it happen. And I mentioned before, sometimes we get this thing, no, believe me, I can make it happen. I can figure this out. I can do this. I. And we leave out the, through Christ, who gives me strength. And I taught a little message here a few Sundays ago about how we have the opportunity to either live in the natural or to live in the supernatural. And many of us choose to master the natural. And I'll tell you what that looks like. That looks like buying the absolute best food that I can buy that is non-GMO and no pesticides and is whatever it happens to be. No gluten and no lactose and no nothing. Because my faith says, I live in a natural world and those things are bad for me, so I better master the natural. Mastering the natural. There's all kinds of ways of mastering the natural. But God, for us as believers, has given us the opportunity to walk in the supernatural. And a toddler in the supernatural is going to outperform a master in the natural every time. And I promise you, if you'll choose to walk in the supernatural, even if you stumble your way through it, you'll have greater effect than if you walk in the natural and master it. So let's just say I see a person in the store, in the grocery line of the store, and they've got some, you know, something wrong with them. Oh, wait a minute. I know somebody who had that, and I know for a fact that extra potassium can help. Okay, I'm just going to go up and share, hey, you know, I had a relative who had that, and potassium is really good. And did you also know that you can do all these other exercise? Yeah, there's some stretches that I can show you how to do. Yeah, and we're being very, very helpful, and that's a wonderful thing. And we've just walked in the natural, but we could have walked in the supernatural. Yeah, but I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Stumble your way through it. Because I promise you, when you walk in the supernatural, 1 Corinthians 1 or 2, and we're not going to bring it up, but Paul says the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men. God on his worst day is better than man on his best day. And we know God doesn't have a worst day. But Paul gives an analogy. If God were sleeping, he would be accomplishing more than you and I on our best day. I can do all things through Christ. Exodus 3, verse 11 and 12. Exodus 3, 11 and 12. Moses is standing in front of the burning bush that doesn't burn up. God is talking to him out loud. And then this is what he says. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Okay, you have the ability to make a bush burn and don't burn up. And a voice is coming out of the middle of the air from the Almighty God Himself, who created the heavens and the earth. Oh, I don't know if I can do this. Here's God's phrase. And God said, certainly, I will be with thee. There's your answer. I love that that's God's answer. I'll be with you. Period. Enough said. I'll be with you. Yeah, but what about? I'll be with you. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If I wait for the through Christ, Acts chapter 1, wait. Hang on. You've just seen me raised from the dead, getting ready to zip up into the air into some clouds. But wait. Wait until you've got the power of God on your life. You're not going to do all things without Christ who gives you strength. 2 Kings 6, verse 16. 2 Kings 6, 16. Is another story that I don't have time to go into in detail. But Elijah has been giving prophetic words to the king of Israel to say, the enemy king, he's going to come around this way today and he's going to try to attack you. And so the king of Israel says, okay, great, thank you. And then he avoids that area. He has people already set up there. And the enemy king ends up getting so frustrated, he says, okay, we've got a mole. We've got some one of you guys is telling my secrets. And then somebody says, oh no. The words that you speak in your bedroom, God tells them to a prophet. Okay, so they surround Elijah. His servant Gehazi goes out early in the morning, I think it says, to get water. And he comes back and says, we're surrounded by the enemy. There are thousands of people out there, and their entire goal is to kill us. He said, their entire goal is to kill us. We're in trouble. And I might have said Elijah, but it's Elisha. And Elisha chuckles, I'm sure, and says this, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. When you know through Christ that gives you strength, you know that you've got the backing of heaven behind you. We have more help than we realize. And Elisha actually prays in this situation, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opens the servant's eyes and he looks and the entire sky is ringed with chariots and horses of fire ready to step in. We have help that we don't know about through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ. Psalm 121:2 says, David says, my help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord. Just in case you don't know who I'm talking about, this is the one who just spoke and world showed up. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Through Christ is the only way that I can do all things. Romans 8, 31 and 32. Romans 8, 31 and 32. Paul says, what shall I say then to these things? I love this verse. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's why for God to tell Moses, I'll be with you, was all the answer that he needed. If you get a hold of, I will be with you, you'll never fear anything ever again. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He already sent his son to die on a cross for you and me, to deliver us from sin, to deliver us from sickness, to cause us to walk in victory. This verse said, how will he not give you everything else too? Everything else is little compared to sending your son to die on a cross. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Let's go down to verse 37, 38, and 39. Paul in the interim says, hey, there's some tough times that happen. There's some things, some difficult things that happen. And then he says, no. in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Not more than conquerors because we're going to gut it out, we're going to muscle it out, we're going to push through this thing. No. Through Him that loved us, I can do all things through Christ. Then He says this, "For I am persuaded," and I'm just going to stop there for 1 second. "For I am persuaded," when you and I are persuaded, the rest of it's going to be no problem. Paul said, I'm certain. I am convinced. You couldn't change my mind otherwise. When we know for ourselves, for me, I'm persuaded. I know for a fact. Then there's nothing that can stand in our way. Let's listen to what he says. He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I can do all things through Christ. "Who strengthens me." 2 Chronicles 14:11. There's a story about Asa. I'm just going to read these real quickly. You have to get the CD. "Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many or with them that have no power." Asa, king of Israel, facing a huge army, way bigger than his. He says, "Lord, it's nothing for you to help, whether those that have lots or those that have a little. O Lord our God, we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God." There it is again. You are our God. Let not man prevail against thee. 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong." God is looking for an opportunity to show himself strong. Will you be that opportunity? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And in this situation, there was somebody that hadn't done it. So it ends the verse with a negative. But the verse says God's looking for someone. Will you be that someone who says, "Yes, Lord, I'll take the strength that you've got. That strength that comes through Christ, I'll take it." Let's go on to Psalm 27:14. It says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." David says, here's the answer. You want to know how to get from God can do anything to my God can do anything, to I can do all things through Christ? Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Spend time with Him. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. I want to look at Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 30 real fast. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Isaiah, in the beginning of his ministry, hears God say, and you can look this up later, Isaiah 6, verse 8, says, And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And if you read the first part of Isaiah, Isaiah says, "I'm a man of sinful lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of sinful lips. I don't know what I have to offer, but whatever it is, you can have it." He ends the verse 6-8, by saying, "Then I said, Here am I, send me." So he starts out by saying, "Lord, I don't know if what I've got's a lot, but here am I, send me." Chapter 40, verse 28, he says, "Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching out his understanding. He gives power to the faint, who strengthens me. And to them that have no might, he increases strength through Christ who strengthens me. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. they shall walk and not faint. And I want to end with this, not in my notes, Isaiah 61, verse 1 and following. Isaiah starts out by saying, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I don't know what I have to offer, but here I am. I'll give you everything I got. And the Lord said, that's all I'm looking for. You've heard it said probably before, it's not our ability, but our availability. And Isaiah proves that. Here I am, send me. Towards the end of his ministry, this is what he says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because the Lord has anointed me, I'm not waiting for someone else to do it. He's anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that He might be glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, I pray that you'd stir this in our heart, Lord. Lord, that we rise up and say, okay, I'm not waiting for someone else to step up. Lord, I'll be the one to step up. Here I am, Lord, send me. And Lord, then we can say, Lord, we'll watch you do it. And we can say, no, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Father, I pray for your anointing on each one of these people here. Lord, whether it's in regards to sickness or affliction, or Lord, us holding back from the things that you've called us to do, Lord, that we would say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.